Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. I'm just so thankful to the Lord. And I hope that it blesses you. I hope that it gives you strength in whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life. Praise the Lord. We'll read in chapter 5 in the first verse. This says, "And seeing the multitudes, and he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I read this today in a time when I really needed it, because I come to God so often, and you know, it's easy to say in small words, "Lord, I just want to be blessed." We want to say that in small words and get great big things. And I find that, especially in things I'm going through that are a lot bigger than some of the smaller things that we deal with, that it's hard to just, for me to just simply come up to God and say, "Lord, I want to be blessed," and feel like that the expectations of things to come are going to be great and grand. I begin to read the words that Jesus was saying to them, and there's different qualities that if I begin to apply them in my life, then I will be blessed. Praise the Lord. You begin to read in verse 3, and it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Now I read about the poor in spirit, and there's a conscious need of humility. And I look in my life sometimes, and I could question and see and look and find, and humility might not be on my list in the middle of the week. Humility might not be the most important thing to me in my life. But if I learn to apply humility as God would give it to you, not what I would force upon myself, but as I would pray and seek Him in that godly humility, would begin to lower me, that I be poor in me, but rich in Him, I'd be able to be blessed. Praise the Lord. And when I look in my life, I look at things, and humility sometimes not in there. It's a lot of other things. And you read, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." It's so hard to see people mourn. And it's hard to see people mourn in the midst of the trial. We talk to people all the time that are going through such hard things, and they say literally to you that they're depressed. And I feel their pain. I understand what depression feels like. A lot of people just brush that off because they don't want to have compassion for depression. But God, I feel like God let me feel that and understand that so I wouldn't turn that away in my ministry. I know what depression feels like. And I know what mourning after things feels like. And when you talk about that penitence or mourning for faith and for comfort, there comes a time when our mourning for things in this world has to begin to mourn for God, that He may supply a comfort for you. Then you can be blessed. I can mourn for all the things I don't have, all the things I wish I could achieve, all the things that I'm depressed for, but only until I mourn in God. In that long prayer, that groaning, that crying out for Him desperately, that seeking Him in a greater way, My tears sometimes are wasted when I dwell in my depression. And God wants me to dwell in Him in a greater way. Then I am blessed. Then I walk in a deeper walk. I'm able to be blessed. I don't have to wonder if I am. For when I mourn for that comfort, I know that I am. That's what Jesus was giving unto the people here. It talks about blessed are the meek. When you read about meekness, it's the birth of a new spirit in you. Praise God. The birth of something new in you when something is broken. Praise God. How many of us feel broken? How many of us have been broken and God has mended you when you have felt so low? When you were beyond repair, God came by and met your need. Hallelujah. When you were in that low, humble state, didn't have a friend in the world to lift you up. You were in a state of meekness where you were able to allow God to move in your life. Praise the Lord. When we're not in meekness, we have pride. We have all the things that hinder that ability to be what? To be blessed. When you're meek, you can inherit so many more things from God. When I got all these other things in front of me, I can't inherit what God wants me to. You know what? I begin to inherit all the destruction that's laying out in this world. All the things that I wasn't meant to inherit. When we live in our anger and live in our doubts and in our fears, then we are supplied according to what we believe. We dwell on the things that we don't have. Dwell on the things that we're afraid of. Of course we're going to live in fear. Of course we're going to fear the enemy. Of course we're going to be afraid of everything that's around us. Of course we're going to look at how much money that we do not have and how it's never going to be met. But if I live in meekness and allow God to birth something in me through faith, I'll be able to grow in a spiritual way and be able to be blessed. Whether I have $1,000 or $0, God's able to birth something in me new and I'm able to be blessed. Praise the Lord. Lord, I want to be blessed. There's a path laid out before you that you can begin to take. But I notice there's plenty of things that have to be laid off to be able to be meek, to be able to obtain humility, to be able to obtain the penitence, to be able to mourn, not just in myself, but to be able to mourn in Him. Praise the Lord. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, if I was going to preach on anything out of this, I would say that we're not hungry anymore. We're not hungry anymore. Come on, church, help me tonight. We're not hungry anymore. We're not hungry like we should be. We're not seeking God like we should be. We're not hungering for the meat and thirsting after the Spirit like we should be. Hallelujah. There'll be places where you get plenty of Bible, plenty of all of it just shoved down your throat, but no spirit to be able to saturate what you're being given. There's a fine balance to be able to make both of those work in your life. Listen, I can know this thing cover to cover, but unless I thirst after the Spirit of God, what good does it do me to have that? And we can have all the anointing in the world and everybody be able to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but what good would it do without the Word of God coming in truth? So you might love to dance around in the anointing, but you've got to have the Word of God in your life for it to mean something. Praise the Lord. But if we're not hungry for that, we're hungry for something. I'm definitely not lacking in hunger. Are you? We're a blessed people on this earth. And God has more than supplied our needs. Quail running over. I've got food in my cupboard. And yet I starve sometimes because I fill myself up with everything else but God. Time is our biggest enemy. Time is our biggest enemy. We've got time to get to the store, time to get the house clean, but not enough time to really, come on now, I feel the Holy Ghost. Time to really give God a few minutes of dedicated prayer. Time to give God His time is what I'm saying. Time to devote to God to say, Lord, I am glorifying You by giving You my time. We're not doing it. We're not hungering for that. And if we would learn to hunger after God and less of this world, we'd be more blessed. I believe that with all my heart. Half the time I feel like that when we long and hunger for this world, guys, you're getting all that you're hungering for. But when we want the things of God, we're not hungering for it, seeking for it, so we're not getting what we're longing for. There's a preparation that takes place in here. There's something that has to come to pass deep down inside of you. I can't just come in any old way to God and expect Him to pour it out of my life. He wants us to be blessed by what He pours out in our life. Hallelujah. He wants us to walk blessed. He wants us to talk blessed by what He pours out into us by His Spirit. That's too far-fetched. It's impossible for us to do that. That's not so. We're all able to hit the mark. We just choose not to. We choose not to because we never want to start. Because we look at our lives and think, Lord, it's just too much effort to change my life. It's too much effort to change my schedule. It's too much effort for me to hunger and thirst after all these things. I just prefer to come to church on the weekends and not hunger for you during the week. It's easier. It works out for me. I've already made that time for you. Let's just go ahead and keep it like that. But I need much more from God than just giving Him my weekends. I need more from God in my life every day. You know, it's more than just the weekends. The blessings are more than just monetary. There's a peace of God that can come over you in the middle of your week if you'll seek Him for that deep spiritual blessing. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, mercy is an attribute of God. Why is that? Because He showed us mercy. He showed us mercy. Therefore, if it's something that He instills in us, praise the Lord, we should be able to what? Use it. If you're able to be merciful to others, you'll be what? You'll be blessed. No, they wronged me, brother. You don't understand. You've not heard the story of how bad that they wronged me. Doesn't matter. When you use what God has given you to use, mercy. You see, you could go ahead and do what you feel like is justified. And there's been times in our lives where I'm sure we have said the thing that we felt like we should have, gave Him our 2 cents. But did you feel blessed after that? Did we? No way. We feel bad and have to go clean up the mess, say we're sorry, go repent. Not the way God wanted it to go in the beginning. When you show something in mercy, you're laying something down, right? You're putting a death to what offended you. And you're making a sacrifice to what bothered you. And people are able to see that, hey, you're demonstrating a godly quality. Because the world's not forgiving anybody anymore. The world's not showing mercy anymore. They'll kick you to the curb, throw you out, and say they're done with you. That's all that we live in anymore. The only time that you ever see true love anymore is demonstrated in the church. But guys, we have to remember to use it. Are we like the world or are we separated? We're not of this world. Hallelujah. When He saved me and delivered me, He separated me and I'm not of this world. He put things in my life that I'm able to do things differently. So when life throws things at me, throws me curves and surprises, I'm able to handle them with what He's provided, that I'm able to be blessed according to what He's given me to use. If I never use meekness, I can't demonstrate it. I'm a child of God. That's great. What are you demonstrating in your life to show that? Well, I know the Bible. That's great. All kinds of people that know the Bible. But what about what's in your heart? What about the part that turns the key for your life? The part of you that really makes it count? You begin to read on in this and it stirs me. Hallelujah. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When we talk about the purity of heart, you're talking about attaining a higher attitude, being above that which would afflict you. When you have that pure in heart, you're getting into where Christ was. Died on Calvary. Made the sacrifice. Right? Pure in heart. Are we there? I find that sometimes we don't get there because we're tainted with something that hurt us, bothered us. And we'll walk around with it and let it afflict our lives. And listen, God wants us to have a pure heart before Him. Anything that would offend your heart or prick it or get in the way, we've got to lay that off. Lay out every weight that would easily beset you so that you're able to go on in your life. It's not easy to carry weights. That was the point of it. It's not easy to walk burdened. It's easier to lay it off and go forward than to keep trying to walk with your baggage. Hallelujah. I tried doing that for a long time, but I learned a long time ago, when I get the enemy off my back, my journey's much easier. When I get the enemy off my back, my journey's much easier. Life goes easier when we walk before God in the way that He wants us to. It says, the way of a transgressor's hard. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's that saying? When I go ahead and try to be pure in heart one day of the week and then try to live in all my afflictions the next day, I can't live a stable life that way. I'm happy one day, I'm unhappy the next. I can't present something to people or to God that's going to be able to stand. It's not going to work. So what's God wanting? He's wanting us to walk blessed. Wanting us to be stronger than that. Hallelujah. Let's finish this. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Read a couple other scriptures here that, for the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Then you read in Ephesians that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The part that really struck me, that's got my attention, that's making me try to do all that I can every day to make a difference. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I'm not doing this for me, but I'm doing this because of what God has placed inside of my heart. Everything that God has done is enough for me to get up and go. It's enough for me to get up in the morning and still have joy. His spirit and comfort is enough that I'm able to live each day with Him. I don't have to fear the enemy. I don't have to live in afflictions or live in temptations. I'm able to push those back by the power that God has given me. I'm learning to realize that I don't need to always come and be asking for blessings all the time. But if I apply those things in my life, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And if I'm able to remember that, I can go to God in a completely different point of view. I'm able to go to Him and ask things in a greater confidence. With that anointing in my life, I'm able to believe God and not be in fear or in worry or looking back behind me or around me or in fear of what people would think or would say or how the enemy would taunt me or make me to believe that what I do is in void or in vain. But what I do for God counts for something. What I'm going out and doing for people means something. And no matter what anybody is going to try to do to get in my way, I know that the steps that God has ordained is blessed in my life. The Holy Ghost is my teacher. He's my leader and my guide. The Spirit of God is the only thing I ever need to lead my footsteps. Those qualities that He puts in your life is so that you're able to get up and not live in moping and depression, that you're able to put those things out of your way. That you're able to put those things out of your way. Devil, get on out of here tonight. We're putting those things out of our way. We are blessed. We are blessed. Every day that we live, we are blessed because what He's already put in deep down inside of you. You just have to learn to unlock that. Unlock that spirit of meekness inside of you. Unlock that mercy deep down inside of your heart. Bring out that spirit of God in you. You'll surprise yourself if you allow yourself. You'll surprise yourself if you allow yourself. I want to operate in the spiritual gifts. Well, that's great. But we got to get to all those foundations before we ever get to the gifts. Praise the Lord. I'm not here for doctrine talk. I'm here to get right down to the foundation of your life. That's where it matters. I'm talking about what's in your heart tonight. What's in your heart? Is your heart broken? Church, call out on the one that's able to help you. God is here to help you, to lift you up in your time of trouble. Are you in a time of mourning? God is here to lift you up as you cry out to Him. Be able to lift you up. The devil wants us to give up, to put off these virtues of life and to live like the world does. But that's not the character. I remember growing up and seeing so many of a different generation of people that loved people. That loved people. They didn't care what you had on. They didn't care what your name was. And if you came up for prayer, they'd come up with you. They didn't care if they knew you. They didn't care if you'd been to church there before. And if you'd come and pray 2 weeks before that, they'd come up with you 2 weeks later. That kind of generation is a generation that was applying what God had placed in them. It was a different time then. But you see, God's the same. Those qualities that and virtues that are supposed to be in our character are still the same. I often think, Lord, I admire those people for everything that they stood for. I've said that so often when I was praying about it the other day. God said that you can stand the same way. Because I was their God. He was the God for them. He was the God for them that gave them the ability to stand in hard times. They practiced that love, fellowship, unity, coming together in one mind, one voice. I'm sure there was times they didn't feel like coming together when it was hard and felt like that. There was brick walls in between everybody, but you know what had to happen? The breaking down of flesh. Breaking down of flesh. Breaking down of flesh. Everybody's got to come the same way. Got to do the same thing. And it's not changed all through the courses of time. The way that the songs are being sung has changed. The way the messages are being preached has changed. The form and fashion of the way that church services are being conducted has changed. The way that people believe has changed. The way that everything that we think that it should go will continue to change through the course of time as long as it goes on. But praise God, the one thing that will be a constant, even if God tarries his coming, even if we're gone and our children's children are still here, he'll still be the same, and those qualities can still be in their life also, and salvation will still be there for them. The message of salvation only goes out if we carry the message of salvation. Do you believe that? Well, that's only for the preachers to preach. Well, how many preachers you seeing going out on the streets anymore? How many preachers you seeing being willing to do that no more? Few and far between. It's a different world, different times. People believe in privacy. People believe in, don't talk to me about all that. It's a different time. But God's still the same. If God can move on the heart of Pharaoh, God can still move on the heart of man. Praise God. I'm talking about the conditions of our heart tonight. I don't care how that we may differ on our beliefs and doctrines. I want you to come together with me on the condition of our hearts. Amen. If our hearts are before God and God is first, we're able to get somewhere. That's all that matters. Amen. You can get past everything else because you see, it doesn't matter what signs on the door. It doesn't matter what you try to read to sway people one way or another. Why are you getting on this? We can say everything in the world to try to make people think one way or another. But when you get right down to it, if people believe in Jesus Christ, isn't that where it matters? And if we have a church
that comes together in love, to me, shouldn't matter who sings a song. To me, shouldn't matter if the song was first or if we had an hour of altar service first and then singing and then preaching. It shouldn't matter. But you see, you know what our direct hindrances are? It's us and the condition of the heart. It is. When we get right down to it, to the bottom of it, if we would learn to walk blessed, we come in with that thanksgiving. We wouldn't come in dragging. I don't say very many things like this, but I'm getting about tired of seeing people dragging. I don't want to just get right on people and be like, why are you dragging today? Because you defend somebody and they never come back. But sometimes you just want to say, hey, what's wrong? Don't you serve a God that's able today? Hey, what's the matter with you? Has the enemy got you deceived? The same God that saved you then is the same God that's still here today. Praise the Lord. I'm tired of dragging. I want to keep going forward.